a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Yellowest Lawn Award with Dave and Duchanovic.
You heard it. It's time for the Yellowest Lawn Award. Dave and I were on the lookout for the listener with the yellowest lawn after the governor reminded us to water less because, yes, we are in a drought.
Make yellow lawns great again. And we want to let people know that it's going to be okay to have a yellow lawn this year.
All right. Here's how this show is going to go. We're going to talk about the no-cost zero water move our winter made to keep patches of grass alive. The rest is dead. We're going to talk about how little she waters. And then we're going to get Tom Bettis on the line, the Greenhouse Show, with expert tips on bringing back a dead lawn.
Debbie, how could you do this? I tried to set some rules here for the Yellowest Lawn Award, and rule number one was you couldn't just let it all die. But you just loved this story too much. You had to give it.
I had a ton of listeners on my Facebook page message me with pictures of their yellow lawns. And Lisa Campman, you rose to the occasion. You have gone above and beyond, so congratulations. You're this week's winner of the Dave and Dujanovic Yellowest Lawn Award. She has not turned on her outdoor water at all.
Once we got kind of the notice of the drought and don't water your lawn, I think I almost cried the first time when I saw how yellow it was getting. But just kind of trying to do my part, I guess you could say. But I'm sure you notice in the pictures, I do have a couple dark green spots. I have two of them. One slightly bigger than the other because the house kind of shades it. But I noticed that if you want to keep a little bit of green in a certain spot, it's the ones that's fully shaded that is not yellowing as fast.
Okay. So no water, I guess. She just went all
in. No water. She's
It's been 107, and she's like, no, I'm going to toughen my grass up. We're gonna let those roots go deep.
She has two sweet little Pomeranian puppies, and she needs to keep some of the patches of lawn green so they have a place to bask in the sun. So she came up with this really brilliant zero-cost, zero-water move to save patches of green for her two Pomeranian pups. She covers them up. Dave, do you have lawn furniture in your backyard?
Yeah.
Is it on your deck?
Yes. Okay.
Now you're going to want to take that lawn furniture and move it off of your deck and put it around your grass because it preserves the green because the lawn furniture totally shades that part of the grass. Right, Lisa?
So I have some patio chairs, and so there's one over by kind of like under a tree, and I put a patio chair there, and that's still really lush and green. And then over by the corner of the house, I have a chair too. And I think in the picture I sent you, the chair had moved a little bit because I had sat on it while I was sitting out there with the dogs.
She's got great
This is
patches.
Wild. You're still sitting out there with your dead grass? Lisa, that's hardcore. I don't think we're asking everyone to be as hardcore as Lisa, though, right?
But congratulations, Lisa. Thank you so much for participating in the Yellowest Lawn Award here on the Dave and Dujanovic Show. We got to bring in Tom Bettis, the horticulturist with Utah State University Extension and also co-host of the Greenhouse Show. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Lisa says that she has got a plan, and it's a four-step formula that she's tracked down at a local hardware store in the lawn and garden section that'll bring back her lawn. But we thought we'd bring you on to ask the expert, can you bring back a dead lawn?
Well, we've got to differentiate between dead and dormant, because your lawn can totally brown out, and if it gets about 1 inch of water a month, which I would break up into maybe, you know, twice a month, a half of an inch of water, it will go totally brown, but with hopefully fall and spring rain and snow, it will come back green the next year.
That seems so little, like so, like not nearly enough water, Ton. I mean,
well, we're talking survival mode here. This is tightening our belt, like quarter ration. And so the only way the lawn survives is the roots stay alive and the top browns out, and it just sits there dormant. And you can do this for 1 year. Now, where Kentucky bluegrass is native, it's naturally green in the spring and fall and brown in the summer. And so they get more rainfall there. So I would suggest not totally browning it out and no water, because that will kill it. But it's a natural thing for it to brown out in the middle of the summer where it's native.
How do you know when it's dormant and versus dead?
Well, if it's had some water, you know, we had rain a few weeks ago, and I'm hoping that she's also watering under her trees, because they will die with zero water. And so watering under the canopy of trees every couple of weeks will help keep those alive and a little bit of extra grass. But if you've been applying water, then you can assume that that lawn is still alive but still brown. If it's had zero water the entire season, you can kill it.
So this four-step formula that she's talking about, I think it was, she said Lowe's hardware store. Have you heard of that, Ton? Is that?
I have not.
Okay. So it's just something, I haven't tried it myself. I have never had grass totally die out. But is there anything we should be putting on the lawn? Like, should we even be fertilizing?
I would recommend, especially if the only time your lawn sees foot traffic is when you mow it, then you can cut back on your summer fertilizations, because it just, all what you're doing is watering the, or fertilizing the weeds, because your lawn is half dormant in this drought, and we have weeds that are much more drought hardy and they thrive in the middle of the summer. And so if you fertilize in the middle of the summer and your lawn isn't being heavily used, you can actually help the weeds outcompete it.
I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, you're feeding the weeds. Okay.
You are.
You bring up the weed control. Should we be, you know, spraying weed killer on it?
I don't. With drought stress, even those weeds that are totally green are still not actually growing super fast in a lot of situations if there's been zero water. And lawn weed killers, it's just way too hot to use them, and you don't want to use them until fall. But even something like Roundup, which is kind of a, I say that with caution, doesn't work as effectively when plants are drought stressed. And so say you did want to go in for some reason and spray a patch of weeds out that weren't in your lawn, then you would actually want to get those things fat and sassy by watering them, then spraying them out a few days later, because when they're growing really actively, it's easier to kill.
Ton, did you say fat and sassy?
The yeah. Fat and sassy weeds.
Ton, there's so much to know about drought and our lawns. I really appreciate you jumping on the line with us. Ton Bettis with Utah State University Extension, also co-host of the Greenhouse Show right here on KSL News Radio with Maria Chaleos. Thank you so much, Ton.
Thanks for having me.
There's so much to know, Dave. I didn't know. And I think, honestly, the tree, watering the trees, so important.
Yeah, your trees will die. Yeah. You have to water your trees.
You know, I honestly didn't even think about that until Don said something.
I didn't think about the fertilizer. I didn't think about the weed killer. Great information.
Straight ahead, Boyd Matheson jumping in studio on the infrastructure bill that everybody got so excited about last week. We don't know. It might be DOA.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors?
I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.